This is How Success Happens, where the staff of Entrepreneur chats with innovators, writers, artists, chefs, and a range of other unique personalities to better understand the traits that make excellence possible.
Nobody in Silicon Valley thinks it's actually them. They think everybody else is like this.
One of my regrets actually now, we should have pulled the plug sooner.
It's amazing when the universe sees you commit, how all of a sudden all these resources start to come together.
Thanks for joining us. And now, How Success Happens.
Venmo, like Google, Xerox, or FedEx, is one of those rare companies that's become a verb. On this week's episode of How Success Happens, Venmo co-founder Ikram Magdan Ismail chats with me, entrepreneur associate editor Lydia Bellinger, about the origins of the mobile payments company 9 years after its founding. It's been acquired twice, with PayPal taking ownership in 2013, and Magdan Ismail is now focusing on other projects. But he's bringing his lessons about app building and business along with him. He's always loved music, and he's channeling that passion into a new audio sharing social app called Ents, which is in beta. In this episode, Magdan Ismail and I discuss how forward momentum has defined his meandering career. But first, a word from our sponsors. Think of all the things you work hard to provide your family. Your home, a college education, your entire lifestyle. How do you make sure all of those things are still possible, even if something unexpectedly happens to you? In the past, life insurance used to be a pain. You'd have to deal with an agent who came across like a used car salesman, schedule a blood test at a doctor's office, read over paperwork filled with fine print and legalese. Ethos changes all of that. Now, with Ethos, the application only takes 10 minutes to complete online. Ethos provides honest, upfront pricing, and no doctor's appointments are required for policies under $1 million. Get your free quote and submit your application online in just 10 minutes now at hsh.getethos.com. One more time, that's hsh.getethos, ethos.com. And now, from our second sponsor. Here's some advice for anyone that sends emails to their customers. You deserve a better email marketing platform, one that's actually designed with your type of organization in mind. Unlike other email providers, Emma puts its customers first, offering powerful email marketing with a personal touch. With Emma, you'll have everything you need to connect your data, build your audience, and do your most successful marketing ever. Their easy-to-use platform makes advanced functionality accessible to everyone on your team, no technical skills required. You can even connect Emma with the services you count on to run your business, like Salesforce and Google Analytics. Not to mention, Emma's award-winning team is always ready to support you on your email marketing strategy, design, list migration, and more. So put the power of email experts behind your marketing. Request a customized demo of Emma's email marketing platform today at myemma.com. Again, that's myemma, E-M-M-A.com. Hello, Ikram. Thanks for joining us. Excited to talk to you about everything from Venmo to your new app, Ents, an audio sharing app, kind of like a social network. Maybe you could do better describing it to everyone.
You. Yeah, no, Ents is a way for us to talk to each other publicly and privately. You kind of leave a voice note for of what you have to say or something you hear, like live music or a song you have, or you sing something, and then other people can listen to it.
So you're in kind of the beta phase now. What have people been using it for so far? I've heard a couple of yours, which we'll get into.
We're beta. We're focusing right now on getting the product right. We have a really nice community of people using it. And if you go on Ents, you'll hear anything from people singing voice, kind of like voice lessons to people. We have things like singing challenges where, you know, the other day, one of the people that's on Ents is Marlon Saunders. He made a sing challenge that was like, everyone, let's sing Lean On Me together. And then 10 or 15 people sang Lean On Me to Ents, and we all listened to each other. There's this guy, Greg, on there, and he talks about his daily life, like what he's doing. And it's kind of like you could go back in time to Greg and listen to his whole life in kind of like a podcast form, but you also get these like small snippets. We have this comedian, Roy Wood Jr., on there telling jokes, telling stories, sharing his life. He's from The Daily Show. And just people talking to each other.
Yeah, I heard one where you and a couple of your colleagues were in unison chanting, "Ence will replace Google."
Wow. So, yeah, you might have to play that on there because I can't even remember that.
On three, we have to say, "Ence will replace Google." One, two, three. Ence will replace Google.
You know, that's one of those, that's the fun part about being in a startup. When it's just a group of five or six people, you rally behind these like really, really dreamy, ambitious goals. And by no means do we have anything bad to say about Google. Google's amazing. It's affected all our lives in a very positive way. But like when you're dreaming big as a startup, you're like, yeah, you know, one day we'll replace Google, we'll replace NASA, Ence will just be a plane that flies everywhere. You just get on, it'll transport you. Like, those are the kinds of things that get you excited. But of course, we have a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, back in your dorm room with your co-founder of Venmo, Andrew Cortina, I'm sure you two... maybe you did have these ambitious dreams of...
Venmo will replace PayPal! And then they bought us.
Yeah, then they bought you. But, you know, it replaced mostly people handing each other checks. Like, the idea... I mean, I remember even as recently as 2014, even though Venmo was out then, like, writing my boyfriend a check to pay for groceries for meals we cooked together. And,
well, and then you switched to digital payments.
Yeah, that's how we pay each other back for things. And anyone, even if my dad, if I paid him for something, that's like the only social network he has.
Well, Venmo.
Yeah.
Wow, it's cool that you call it a social network. Because
yeah.
How many payment apps are... I didn't even think of it like that for a while. But yeah, it's kind of its own social network.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember hearing...
Does he browse the feed at all, or do you browse...
Well, he knows that some of my friends' names, like when I bring them up, because he knows I paid them, you know, $20 for drinks or something. Oh, I remember. I've seen her on Venmo. But wow. I say social network because I'm pretty sure I've never seen my dad's photo on the internet, like that he posted there himself any other time. But I remember hearing you at the Startup Columbia Entrepreneurship Festival in 2016 speaking. You gave a talk, just kind of lessons you'd learn from Venmo.
Sure.
And one of them was everybody needed a phone number to get Venmo. That was the way to really scale it. And also the idea of making it a social network seemed to be a kind of thing that set it apart and made it lift off.
Yeah, as far as the phone number thing goes, I think this goes back to these glorious statements. Like, we were like, well, what's one thing everyone in the world has? And I think where we landed was everyone basically has a phone number. So our goal was for everyone to be able to use Venmo when we were conceptualizing it. And we thought, like, if we made Venmo phone-based, then anyone with a number would be able to use it. Actually, in some of our marketing campaigns, I remember we'd be like, you know, like, but subtext would be like, well, you gotta, all you need is a phone number, which we knew everyone had, and then there was this feature on Venmo where you could send money to a phone number, any phone number in the US at least. And then the person would get a text and then sign up and then claim the money that way. And that's one of the ways we spread very early on, because imagine if I came up to you 2009 mm-hmm. and I was like, hey, download this app, put your bank account in, do all of these things, and then I'm going to send you some money. You would have been like, I don't think I'm interested in that. So what we did was I would say, hey, what's your phone number? And then I would text you the money. You get a text that says, hey, Ikram paid you $20. And then that $20 would just be in this account, like in this pool of money somewhere. And you would have 30 days to get $30 into your bank account or into your Venmo account. And then it would keep reminding you. You'd get another text a week later. Hey, by the way, there's $30 waiting for you. You want your $30 from Venmo? Just get this app or sign up here. And then as soon as you did, the money was in your bank account. Oh, sorry, in your Venmo balance. And you could either send that to another phone number, which means now you could send that $30 to someone that didn't have a Venmo account, or you could send that $30 straight to your bank account and cash out, or you could just keep it as like, mm-hmm. you know, like a pocket money.
That's how you sign up for an Ence account too. I recently just did that in preparation for today talking with you. And
I think you
could sign up with a social network like Twitter too, right?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, yeah.
That helps people just.
But yeah, basically, it's your phone
access.
Number. There's a quote that I've heard from a friend, Matt D, which is success leaves clues. So I think in working on Ents, it's kind of interesting. I look back at a few of the things that we did with Venmo early on and kind of in some ways just replicate them, knowing that we've done all that testing at Venmo and these things will work. So That's why Ents is phone number based, and there are lots of little dynamic. Like there's the way we've designed the social feed is similar to the way the feed on Venmo is. It's like based on your friends.
So all this kind of elides all the trial and error, of course, when our podcast, How Success Happens. It happens from a lot of, you know, maybe guessing incorrectly the first time or trying to figure out who your users were initially and how they'd want to use the app. So, you know, what are some examples? I know maybe I've heard about Venmo, maybe thinking that food trucks were going to be its main users. Or
wow, that was a time. I remember being in an investor meeting early on saying, hey, we think Venmo is going to be, everyone's going to use it someday and you should invest. And he was like, what's your strategy? Well, we want to get every food truck in the city on Venmo, and then that's how people are going to pay for food trucks. What do you think? And the investor was like, that's not really a big market. But still, we were gung-ho about it. And I remember going food truck to food truck just with placards saying, here, put this Venmo sign on your truck, and now you have a way to accept digital payments or credit cards in essence, and or cash. And then two or three food trucks on the University of Pennsylvania's campus accepted it. One of them, and I think that truck's user ID was number 5, they would accept Venmo, and sometimes I would stand in line there and be like, hey, did you know you could pay with your phone here instead of cash? And some people were like, that's weird. Some people were like, whoa, that sounds cool. And then we had like one or two people using it once a week. And then Hemos actually at the time didn't even have a bank account. So I would go and hand deliver them cash once a week on Fridays for the Venmos they were receiving then clear their balance. And then I would say 3 months go by and our priorities were changing and we were like, man, Hemos still accepted Venmo, but we were like, I don't know if this is our path forward, because we weren't seeing that many people using it. And our, you know, over time, our focus shifted towards people just paying each other. And now if you go to Penn's campus, without anyone having to ask the food trucks, you'll see that food trucks have naturally placed We Accept Venmo stickers on it. Because I think what happened was campus students were like, hey, we hate paying with cash here. Why don't you accept Venmo? And then the trucks are like, all right. And then some of the trucks used it as a competitive advantage for a little bit. And then now you go to some of these food trucks and you see like 3 food trucks in a row accept Venmo, and there's always one standing out that doesn't. It's interesting to see how things come full circle sometimes.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of this until now. It reminds me, I went to, there's a bar downtown here in New York where you can get your nails done at the bar. You have to take a number and one woman sitting at the table will do it. And that's how we paid her, or tipped her. That's how we tipped her.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of this is like, you have these early instincts. So I feel like there are two sides to building something. The first is those early instincts of what, in the long term, people will be using a product for, especially in Venmo's case. And then there's like, now you got to get there and execute. And it's funny, like, it took a lot. I feel like it took tons and tons of work, legwork, to get Venmo to a point where some of the early instincts we had are naturally starting to happen from its users. And it's just the amount of work. A lot of people can get discouraged in that idea phase because it's not catching on quickly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what I've learned is, if you trust your instincts and you think your instincts are telling you, like, this is still a good idea, then you just got to keep going until something in your gut is telling you, actually, that's not a good idea. Then it's like kind of like that's when you move on. And I found when I've worked on lots of different projects, like before Venmo, there was I did this thing called Philadelphia Sheriff Sales, which would like scrape the city for real estate opportunities based on foreclosures. I think I was trying to buy a house at the time, just, well, I don't know why. Everyone was, you know, someone at some point in your life, you want to buy a house, then you want to sell it and just rent. But I was like, okay, So we had this scraper, and then I was like, well, maybe other people could use this, not just me. And I made a little website landing page, like, hey, looking for a foreclosure in Philadelphia, like, sign up for this site. It's $12 a month. And, you know, I did that for, like, 3 months, got maybe, like, 30 or 40 people paying $12 a month for this tool that I was working on. And actually, Cortina and I contributed it to it. And the money we made on that, we used to get the first Venmo office in Philadelphia. So yeah. I think we were making, at the end of the day, $1,200 a month. And we took the money we were making from Philadelphia sheriff sales and paid $1,200 a month for our office.
Wow.
On Delancey Street, yeah. And then, you know, they came a point where, like, this idea of Philadelphia sheriff is kind of like, I think we're good with this. And you just naturally move on. And with Venmo, I think we did other things, too. We were doing birthday wishing apps, like an app to wish your mom happy birthday. There's a bunch of different things. And at the time, you're like, this is the best idea in the world. And then Venmo popped up in the middle of that. And then every time, you know, we'd revisit the idea of Venmo, it stayed fresh in our minds, and we just kept working on it.
It seems like from Philadelphia sheriff sales to Venmo, the success of one kind of led to the other. Now you've kind of applied some lessons from Venmo to ENTS as you're trying to get off the ground. What other lessons you've gleaned over time are you pouring into ENTS right now?
The main lesson I've learned is two of them. One is to work with people that you enjoy working with at all times. Because at the end of the day, you're spending a lot of time with these people. That's probably the main one. And then out of that, if you're really happy about what you're working on and the people you're working with, it leads to great things. And it also leads to a great way to live life, I feel like. And then the second thing is it's to keep going even when you feel like any dose of discouragement, because time passes and then a lot of working on a early stage kind of company when you're trying to get something off the ground, a lot of what happens is there are these highs and lows all the time. And I feel like that happens to a lot of people all the time, you know, no matter what the circumstance, but it's just, you just have to keep that steady, you have to find what really keeps you steady in life and then just keep going, because ultimately we are all working on something and you have to be happy. So those are the things I've learned. And then some things, like with Venmo, for example, it just happened to be one of these things that more and more people, in some way unexpectedly, we would talk about a lot of people using it and things like that, but it just kind of took its own course. And then, you know, I can't even remember, I don't even remember what caused what.
Right.
But we're just in on this boat together, a bunch of people, and we're just like, well, we're working on Venmo.
And then... Mm-hmm. And as far as things you enjoy, I know you're a music guy. A couple years ago,
yeah.
I heard you mention you're working on an album.
Still
that's
working
going.
On it. It's almost done. So hopefully, and ENTS played a big role in creating it. Actually, ENTS started as a result of me and Mamadou working on the album that we hopefully will release in the next month, finally 2 years later. But we were in my apartment 2 years ago, just composing and composing and just riffing, and he's a bass player. I play piano a little bit, drums, guitar, sing a little bit. And we were just riffing. And one of the needs we had was a way to just capture some of the sounds we were coming up with. And then ENTS was the way to do that. It's just kind of like the Voice Memos app, but it backs it up in the cloud, and you could share it publicly so other people could listen to it and contribute to the song, and Mamadou and I would share it back and forth. And that's how we started making the album. We would just end snippets here or there, and then we'd revisit a thing we ensed and be like, and we would be like, okay, that's cool. Let's work on that. Let's riff off of that. That's kind of, and now we're here today, and we decided what if we just exposed it as a way for everyone to just, whatever they're working on or whatever they want to share that's sound-based, they could use ENTS. And hopefully that'll help people collaborate or share ideas and things like that, and stories, because I found it's much easier to speak than it is to type. Similar to how it's much easier to use Venmo than cash or to have cash. There's just the level of efficiency in speaking versus typing is much different. So, Yeah, we'll see where it ends up, but I think, that's kind of how it originated.
Well, that's, people talk about, speculate, voice interfaces. This makes me think of Alexa, Google Home, those products. Are people going to interface with them? Are people going to buy things with them? Are we going to, increasingly dictate text messages and other kinds of messages on our phones? I mean, the adoption, people can break down the demographics of that and everything, but it still seems kind of yet to be seen. Do you think about that kind of adoption when you're thinking about like the prospects for this?
Adoption of what exactly, which is?
Of speaking and sharing and having it be audio and rather than the visual text.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I mean, for example, we're on a podcast right now, mm-hmm. and we're not doing video for a reason. And text, I'm not writing a blog about the story of Venmo. I think there's there's a whole world of people that want to listen to content and that want listening to be their method of, consuming mm-hmm. and information, consuming information or things from their friends and things like that. Because you can like hit play on something and multitask and it could be on in the kitchen while you're cooking and things like that. So, I think that soon, people are going to want to make, more and more people are going to want to make things so that other people can listen to them. And then you'll start to realize that it's much easier to just, for us, it's so easy for us to just sit here and talk to each other mm-hmm. and then share that conversation. If we had videos involved, we'd have to have video. Sometimes people want makeup and how you look and all of that. There's so many things you don't have to think about when it's just audio based. Mm-hmm. And also, I could be sitting, no one knows where I'm sitting really. There's so many cool things that audio adds to the creation process, audio only. And it's more efficient. So yeah, in the future, we're probably going to be sharing lots of stories and things like that through audio. And kids will be listening to audio growing up. And mm-hmm. I learned a lot by listening to my parents talk a lot versus mm-hmm. Reading. I didn't read as much as I was listening. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. Now I think about it. If we had this conversation on the phone, recorded it, I tried to type it out in a Q&A format. Even if I have transcription software or something.
And what's cool about this too is less interpretation. I mean, left to the journalist in this particular case, because now people hear from the source the information. Whereas if someone's trying to do a Q&A and then write an article about it, uh-huh. There's a level of interpretation there.
Oh, this is getting pretty meta here, breaking the fourth wall, if you will.
Oh yeah, we're going deep.
But you've always been into music, into the audio sharing is a natural progression of that. Yeah. What other, you went from real estate to mobile payments. What other industries excite you right now?
I'm particularly interested in how people will kind of communicate with each other. I think there's a lot for that, or the ENCE is part of that. And then another industry is, I don't even view it as an industry, but a topic that I think about a lot is how we, our sort of immigration policies. So I'm an immigrant, mm-hmm. having come from Africa I lived all in three different countries in Africa before I moved here at the age of 13. And it's I feel like an industry that needs to emerge or something where the world has to come together on is how we decide people can coexist together in a manner that's better than the way it happens now. Even going to a country, having to show your passport, go through, get a stamp, and, this, photo. It's, so many things that can be improved in the way we treat people in that regard. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, this land, the earth is just one place, and, you see what's happening in America a little bit, where families are getting kicked out, and, there's so many things related to how we coexist that have room for improvement, and I don't even know what that industry is called, but it's just the notion of people. So hopefully we'll make progress in terms of how we can coexist. And maybe things social media helps people get closer together. But mm-hmm. we'll see what happens. I don't know what comes next. Maybe everyone's just got to start a new world or a country together at the same time. So we all have the same status or whatever. You know, that's a policy, but...
And so we'll replace Google and some other tech will replace the world, I guess.
We'll
find out who's going to create that.
But. I guess Elon Musk is trying to move us all to Mars. Just get rid of Earth.
It's Mars.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, this seems like a good place to wrap up. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing.
Great.
That's our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. How Success Happens comes out every week. To catch each episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Like, share, and leave us a review so we can always be improving. Go to entrepreneur.com for more episodes of this show and our other great podcasts. That's entrepreneur.com. Thanks.